All right. Where should I dig?
Not here. Rest a while.
Not here?
We're going somewhere else.
This is totally crazy. But I feel better tonight than I have in 5-6 years. Like I'm home at last. Home and whole. Sounds bizarre when I'm just about to bury my daughter's cat, but it's the flat truth, Judd. I feel good.
You don't pick your times for feeling good any more than you do for the other.
I think it's this place that's got something to do with it. A pet cemetery.
Maybe so, but you don't want to trust that, Lewis. Heroin makes junkies feel good when they put it in their arms. But all the time is poisoning them, mind and body. Well, this place can be like that, and don't you ever forget it. Oh, I hope to God I'm doing right.
I don't understand what you're talking about, Judd.
This place has power, Lewis. Not here so much, but where we're going.
Where are we going?
Come on.
The Deadfall? Judd, are you crazy? You can't climb that.
Follow me.
Judd, it's lethal. We'll break our legs and freeze to death.
Just follow, Lewis. Don't falter. Don't hold on to anything. And don't look down. I know the way, but it has to be done quick and sure.
This is lunacy.
But there was no snap of a branch giving way. No sickening plunge. My shoes did not slip on the old dry moss that had overgrown the fallen trees. I moved casually, almost sauntered, up and down the other side.
Made it. Judd, we made it.
Come on. We got a piece to walk yet. 3 miles or more.
There is a power here. I can feel it. In the air. In the ground.
Coming to what the Micmacs called Little God Swamp. There's quicksand and other things, too.
What other things?
You might see St. Elmo's fire. Sailors call fool lights. Makes funny shapes. It's nothing, just look the other way. You may hear voices, too. Well, that's just the loons down south toward Prospect. Sound carries.
Loons this time of year?
This is like the Deadfall, Lewis. We gotta go steady and easy. Keep our heads.
With a pick, me with a shovel. We could be pirates, off to bury doubloons by the dark of the moon. Only it's not treasure I'm burying. It's my daughter's castrated cat. Oh, it's warmer here. Never seen ground fog like this before. Like wading through snow. Is it a moose? A bear?
Grip on yourself, Lewis.
What was that?
Just a loon. We're almost there. Steps here, cut into the rock.
Steps?
Yeah, 42, 44. I can't remember. And when we get to the top, we're there. 3, 4, 5.
We climbed up to a flat rock that rose clear above the woods. In the dim moonlight, it looked like a chopped-off hill or bizarre mesa. A geological freak that would have been more in place in New Mexico or Arizona. A wind blew, hard and clean. I felt a sense of total emptiness, but an emptiness that somehow vibrated. There were dark shapes.
Cairns. Grave markers like the slates and slats in the pet cemetery.
This is a seriously weird place. How did he get to be this peculiar shape?
Micmacs did it. Sanded off the whole top of the hill. No one knows how, any more than we know how the Mayans built their pyramids.
Dude, what's this all about?
This is the Micmac burying ground, Lewis. And you're here to bury Ellie's cat.
Why here? Why not the pet cemetery?
I help you dig, but you gotta do it yourself. Each buries his own. That's how it's always been done.
Why are you doing this, Judd?
You because you saved Norma's life. Here. Soil's thin. You'll need this.
All right. This do?
Now pick out the rocks for your cairn. And don't steal from anyone else's.
Oh, Chad, come on.
It's Ellie's cat. She'd want it done right.
Well, tell me what's going on. Please.
The Micmacs believed this was a magic place. So they buried their dead here away from everything else. Other tribes steered clear of it, said the woods were full of ghosts. Maybe they saw the Foo Fire, the little god swamp.
Yeah, maybe.
Later, not even the Micmacs came. They said it'd been visited by a Wendigo.
Some kind of Indian spirit, right?
The ground had gone sour.
Whatever the hell that means. You think it's magic?
It's certainly dangerous, Lewis. But not for dogs or cats. Go on, bury your animal.
Judge, just...
Go on!
So long, Church.
It took me 20 minutes to fill the grave, another 10 to pile up the rocks for the cairn. When the job was done, I felt a small, tired pleasure. It looked right, there with the others in the moonlight. Though as we left the plateau, I noticed the other cairns were in ruins.
You did good, Lewis. I knew you would.
These cairns, they've all been kicked over or something.
Let's get out of here.
I hardly remember going back. But as we came down the path behind my house, it suddenly hit me how crazy and downright dangerous the whole expedition had been. The deadfall, the swamp. Could have died up there, both of us.
How you feeling, Lou?
Whacked. What time's it, Judd?
Just gone 8:30.
Is that all?
Tomorrow, Louis.
Judd! What did we do up there tonight?
Buried your daughter's cat.
Is that all?
You're a good man, but you ask too many questions. Sometimes a man does what feels right in his heart, then after he ends up not feeling right, like it was a mistake. Know what I mean, Lewis?
I guess so.
But you gotta do what's in your heart, not question it, right?
Well, I'm not...
Right, so don't question it, Lewis. Accept what's done.
Tell me one thing.
Maybe.
Have you ever used that place?
I buried my dog Spot up there when I was 10, after he was killed on the road.
Good night, Lewis.
Buried my first dog here, Spot. Died of old age. Buried my dog Spot up there when I was 10. After he was killed on the road.
Can't be so. It can't be so.
This barrier was not made to be broken. You must not go beyond this, no matter how much you feel the need. There is more power here than you can understand. It is old and always restless.
Sometimes a man does what feels right in his heart, then after he ends up not feeling right, like it was a mistake.
Your destruction and the destruction of those you love is very near.
No, leave me alone! No, no!
I woke up sweating, listening to the wind in the eaves and the drag and lurch of footsteps. But I knew it was a dream. And though many other inexplicable things happened, I was never bothered by the specter of Victor Pascal again, waking or dreaming.
Lewis Creed.
Hi, Lou. Did I wake you?
No need to sound so pleased about it.
You bad old bear.
Oh, give it to me.
I called last night. Guess you're over at Judd's?
Yeah.
I thought about phoning you when I got back, but you know how it is.
I can certainly imagine. Sounds like you're enjoying your break from this sideshow.
Frankly, I'm finding it a bit dull. I miss you, Rachel. A lot. I miss the kids, too.
It's mutual, Lewis. You know that.
Yeah.
How's that paper you're writing?
So-so. I didn't put in the keyboard time yesterday, but I'll make up for it today, honest.
Mom, give me the phone!
Okay. Lou, Ellie wants a word.
All right.
Hi, Daddy.
Hiya, precious.
Dad, I had an awful dream last night.
I'm sorry.
About church.
Church?
Is he okay?
I guess so. I fed him last night, then I put him out. I haven't seen him this morning, but then I only just woke up.
Give him a kiss from me.
Oh, yeah, kiss your own cat, Ellie. Liz Creed.
Talk to the family yet?
Rachel phoned first thing this morning. Why?
Tell them about church. Getting killed on the road like that?
No, I didn't. I thought, you know, that sort of thing comes hard over the phone. I'll be back soon enough, so I'll come.
I wouldn't talk about what we did last night, neither. Not to Rachel, not to anyone.
Right.
We'll speak about this again. Tonight, maybe, if you stroll over for a beer. By then, you'll understand a lot more.
Yeah, Judge.
Sorry, Lou, I gotta go. Norma wants me to take her into Bucksport.
Oh, my God. Come here, boy. Come here. That's it. I held Church on my lap and probed the fur on his neck. I could remember the sick, boneless way his head had swiveled last night. Now I felt only firm muscle and good tendon. Then I looked at his... at its muzzle. Dried blood caked its mouth, and caught in its long whiskers were tiny shreds of green plastic. Bits of the hefty bag that I'd buried it in.
Stanley B, we used to call him. He was an old man when I was still a boy, more than a little crazy.
How did he hear about it?
From his dad. Got it from his father. Stanley's grandpa was a fur trapper in the early 1800s, traded with the Micmacs.
And they told him their secret?
By that time, they'd abandoned the place because of the Wendigo.
Some sort of spirit.
Yeah. The Indians believed that if the Wendigo would walk through their village and touch them, gave them a taste for the flesh of their own.
Cannibalism?
Yeah. Anyhow, one day, when I was 10 years old, Stanny B caught me crying my heart out behind the old Bucksport livery stable. My dog Spot was hit by a car the day before he was dying. My dad knew how I loved that dog, so he sent me away while he did the deed. I told Stanny, he said he knew a way I could fix it. When I got home, my dad had put a bullet behind Spot's ear. I said I'd bury Spot up at the pet cemetery, but I didn't. I stashed him by the deadfall like Stanny told me to do. Later, after midnight, I snuck out and met up with Stanny. He was half-crocked, and as we walked through the woods, he kept falling down. But when we climbed that deadfall, he stepped steady. He wasn't staggering at all when we passed through Little God Swamp. He'd scared himself sober. So I buried Spot. You can guess the rest.
He came back.
Next day, First I knew of it was when I heard my mom screaming in the kitchen. Spot had her backed against the icebox. He didn't mean no harm, but there was terror in her eyes. I loved my mom. And that took away any joy I might have felt when I saw Spot alive again. My daddy came in then. He took a long look at Spot and said, "Give the dog a bath, Judd. He stinks of the ground you buried him in."
What'd you do?
Gave the mud a bath. And he was never right again.
Church is the same. Slow and stupid. Damaged.
Another beer, Lewis?
Yeah, thanks. I could use one. Shooting a man or an animal in the head, it isn't as certain as it sounds. There are plenty of would-be suicides walking around. Maybe that's what happened.
And your daughter's cat?
Church, too. Maybe he was
cat
just
was
stunned.
Dead. You saw how its head flopped, how cold it was? It was dead, Lewis. Now it's not.
Your dad already knew about that burial ground.
Yeah. He thought it was a bad place. Said it didn't often do any good for folk who'd lost their animals. Or the animals themselves. He asked if I still liked Spot. And you know, Lewis, I had a hard time answering.
So why did you bring...
Because kids need to know that sometimes death is better. Your Ellie, she don't know that. Your wife don't know it either. Maybe now they'll learn. They'll go on loving that cat, but they'll breathe a sigh of relief when it finally dies.
Judd, I don't know about that.
That's why. Oh, but it ain't why. I did it for the same reason Stanny B did it. The reason my daddy would never take me there.
I don't understand
the
you, Judd.
The place gets a hold of you. You have to do it. It makes you. My daddy didn't take me to the burying ground because he'd heard about it, but never been. But Stanny had been. So he took me. And 70 years go by and I take you. If you was to take your cat out tonight and kill it, Lewis, I'd never say a word.
Oh, Judd, you're not making sense.
Well, I'm all talked out. Need another beer, Lewis?
No, thanks. I better go. One last question.
Sure.
Has anyone ever buried a person up there?
Lewis! No! Whoever would? Don't even think about such things.
I went back home. I was in the garage fumbling for the light switch when I realized how drunk I was.
Oh! The goddamn switch anyway. Oh my God, what have I done?
Hi, honey.
I'm so glad to see you.
Hey, don't break my neck.
Hi, Doc.
Hi, Rachel. Here, come into Gage. Oh, boy, you've grown. You look beat. You all right?
Gage threw up on the plane, all over me. I don't think it was a virus or anything. I think he was just airsick.
As I was strapping Gage into his car seat, he threw up again. This time I was in line. On the drive home, Rachel sat in the back to comfort Gage, who'd fallen into a fretful doze, and Ellie rode up front with me.
Daddy, how's Church? I dreamed you got run over.
Huh?
She had a nightmare. Woke up screaming.
Church is fine, honey.
As fine as a cat can be when he's come back from the dead. Looks at you with strange, muddy eyes. At night, I put him out with a broom because I can't bear to touch him. And most days, he brings in a mouse or a bird. Or what's left of it.
He's just fine.
Good. When I had that dream, I was just sure he was dead.
Feel him, Louis. Awfully hot.
He's running a fever. Lay him on the couch in the living room. Try not to wake him. I'll take his temperature.
Right.
Hi, Church. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Here, kitty, kitty. Oh, come on.
I watched out of the corner of my eye as Ellie hugged the cat. Her happy face changed slowly to puzzlement. Church lay in her arms, his ears back, his eyes on hers. After a moment, it seemed like a very long moment, Ellie put the cat down.
Daddy?
What, Ellie?
Church smells funny.
Does he?
Yes, he does. He smells like shit, Daddy.
Ellie!
Lou, are you sure?
Yes. It is a virus. I'll put him on Tylenol as soon as he wakes up. Bring down the fever.
Aren't you going to give him antibiotics?
They don't touch viruses. They just give him the runs.
Are you sure it's a virus?
If you want a second opinion, be my guest.
You don't have to shout at me.
I wasn't shouting.
You were! You were!
Rachel. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Trip was a strain, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and ever since I got home, I've been afraid you'd open the suitcases and hit the roof.
Hit the roof? Why?
My mom and dad, they bought Ellie and Gage 10 new outfits each.
Rachel, why? Why did you let him do that?
It was both of them. They're getting old. They love the children.
We don't need your father's money.
I know you don't like my dad, Lou, but...
Mommy, Daddy, somebody!
I'm here, honey. What is it?
Daddy, I don't want Church on the bed.
Jeez.
He smells so bad. Put him out, Daddy. Put him out.
Would you mind, Lou, just for tonight? I feel better having Gage with me.
It's fine. I'll sleep on the couch.
What was Ellie fussing about?
Church. She wanted me to take him away.
Take him away? That's a switch.
She said he smelled bad and... Well, he was rather fragrant. He must have rolled in something ripe.
Too bad. Oh, she loves that cat.
Go to sleep, Rachel. Night, Gage.
Hey.
Yeah?
I love you, Lou. Glad to be home, and I'm sorry about the couch. We'll make some whoopee tomorrow night, okay?
Sure.
By morning, Gage's temperature was normal, and he was bright-eyed and full of beans. In a few days, the virus cleared up completely. December was my busiest month yet at the university. As the semester funneled to a close, students crowded into the infirmary with coughs and colds, bronchitis, walking pneumonia, even broken bones from toboggan accidents. At last, the holiday began, and the four of us settled down for an old-fashioned Christmas. On Christmas Eve, after we'd finally got the kids to sleep, Rachel and I sat in the living room by the dying embers of the fire and wrapped the presents.
Remember last year? Seemed like everything we got them had to be assembled.
Pass the ribbon.
We're up till 4 in the morning.
And by mid-afternoon, Ellie decided the boxes were more fun than the toys. There, last present. Apart from that bike, how are you doing with it, Chief?
I just gotta tighten this and... Ta-da!
Lewis?
Yeah?
What are these screws?
Spares.
You'd better hope so or she'll break her neck.
Are you gonna wrap it?
Give me a break, Lou. Stick a bow on it and stash it behind the couch.
Go on, scat! Get out of here!
Strange. That cat's got no grace anymore. When did he lose it?
Same time he lost his balls?
Maybe. Right. Bed. I'll give you an early present.
Woman, that is mine by right.
You wish. Merry Christmas. Now, that present I promised you.
Hang on a second. I've got one for you. I've been burning a hole in my pocket all night. Merry Christmas, Rachel.
Lewis, what is it?
Soap, shampoo, I forget exactly.
Tiffany's? Oh.
Well... Do you like it?
it a sapphire?
That's what the guy told me.
Oh, Louis. It's so damn beautiful.
Oh, Dave, don't do that.
Louis, we can't afford...
Shh, I've been socking money away all year. It's okay.
How much was it?
I'll never tell you, Rachel. An army of Chinese torturers couldn't get it out of me, $6,000.
$6,000? Oh, Louis, you're crazy.
Here, turn around. Let me fasten it. Looks okay.
Okay. I'm going to go up and look in the mirror. I want to preen.
I'll put the cat out and lock up.
When we make it, Louis, I want to take everything off except this.
Preen quickly. I'll be right up. Church. Church, come on, where are you? Merry Christmas to you. No, not another bird. Damn cat. Come on. Clear out of here. Yeah.
Louis. You coming up to bed?
Yeah, I'll be right there. I just gotta clean something up.
On New Year's Eve, Judd and Norma came over. Norma seemed frail, as if she'd suddenly aged 10 years. And as I watched her drinking Rachel's eggnog, I had a terrible foreboding. When the students came back after the holiday, the flu came with them. The infirmary was busy 10-12 hours a day. I went home in the evenings utterly whacked, but happy. Then, in late January, in a week of blizzards and sub-zero temperatures, Norma died.
Judd.
Well, she's gone. Doc Merrill said it was probably a brain embolism. What does that mean?
It means she didn't suffer. I wouldn't mind going that way myself.
But not just yet, eh?
It's good, Judd. Norma would have wanted you to cry. Probably been pissed off with you if you didn't.
Should have seen her when she was 16, Louis. Come from church with her jacket unbuttoned, her shirt waist so clean and white, your eyes would have popped. Get me a beer, will you? Have one yourself.
Yeah, sure.
A bit early in the day, I know, but... I tell you, Louis, she was so damn beautiful, she could have made the devil swear off drinking. Well, thank God she never asked me to do it.
There you go. To Norma.
May she have peace. And wherever she is, let there be no friggin' arthritis.
So Judd sat in his kitchen and drank beer and reminisced. A stream of warm memories and anecdotes, colorful and clear, and sometimes arresting. And between telling stories of the past, Judd dealt with the present in a way I could only watch and admire.
Could you have someone do her hair, please, Mr. Mortensen? She hadn't washed it since Saturday.
A wash and set is all part of the service, Mr. Crandall. Would you like her cosmeticized?
Lightly. She's dead. People know it. No need to tot her up. Crackers, another couple of beers, Lou. This is going to take a while.
Yeah.
And I'd like the coffin closed during the funeral, but open in the chapel of rest.
Judd was so composed, so courteous. I felt a great admiration for him then. And love. Yes. And love.
That night, when Ellie came downstairs in her pajamas to be kissed, I knew she was going to ask me about Norma Crandall. I also knew Rachel was outside the door, listening to what I had to say.
Will Mrs. Crandall go to heaven?
Well, I don't really know, honey. Hang on. Come here.
People believe all sorts of things about what happens when we die. Some people think we go to heaven or to hell. Some think we're born all over again.
Reincarnation?
Reincarnation, yes, that's right. There's a whole heap of different ideas, Ellie, but no one really knows. People say they do, but what they mean is they believe because of faith. You know what faith is?
I guess so.
Well, here we are sitting in this armchair. You think it'll be here tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you have faith in that. So do I. Faith is believing a thing will be. Well, we don't know it'll be here. Some crazed chair burglar might break in and steal it. Really religious people say that having faith and knowing are the same thing, but I don't think so. Because when it comes to death, there are too many different ideas on the subject. What we know is this. When we die, either some part of us, our soul, I guess, somehow survives. Or not. If it does, all sorts of things are possible. If not, nada. The end.
Which do you have faith in, Daddy?
I used to think death was the end. But I guess I've changed my mind. I believe we go on. How? I don't know. But I think Mrs. Crandall is probably somewhere she can be happy.
You have faith in that?
I guess so. I also have faith in the fact that it's your bedtime, like 20 minutes ago.
Night, Dad.
Night, Ellie. Sleep tight.
Daddy, do you think animals go on?
Yes, I do.
Remember my dream about Church dying?
I remember.
If Church died now, Daddy, I could take it.
I heard you talking to Ellie about death.
You don't approve?
No. Oh, no, it's not that, Lewis. I get scared.
Scared of dying?
Not myself. I don't think about that. No, not anymore. As a kid, I thought about it a lot. I dreamed that monsters were coming to get me. They all look like my sister Zelda.
Zelda? You don't talk about her much.
Oh, Lewis, you're sweet. I never talk about her.
Well, I guess you've got your reasons.
Yeah.
She died of meningitis, wasn't it?
Spinal meningitis. She was 2 years older than me, and she caught it, and she died in the back room like a dirty secret. A dirty secret.
Baby, don't.
No, don't stop me, Lewis. I've only got the strength to tell this once.
That's really horrible.
Yeah. Oh, worse than you could ever imagine. We watched her deteriorate day by day. There was nothing anyone could do except give her drugs for the pain. She was in pain all the time. Her body clenched like a fist. We knew she was gonna die, and the truth is we wanted it. We wished her to die, not just to end her suffering, but to end ours. Because she was becoming a monster. Oh, God, Lewis, that sounds awful.
Oh, Rachel, it doesn't.
It does, it does!
Victims of long illnesses often become demanding and unpleasant. They spread their misery. They can't help it.
Zelda would piss her bed. She'd say it was an accident, but you could see the glee in her eyes. And her, oh, God, her room stank of it. That and the drugs. Even now, I wake up sometimes and I smell that room, and for a moment I think, is Zelda dead yet?
Rachel.
By the end, none of us could remember her the way she used to be, not even my mother. She was just this foul, hateful, screaming thing in the back room. Our dirty secret. My parents were out when she... when she finally died.
They left you alone?
Oh, I mean, it was Passover. They went to see friends. They weren't away long.
How old were you?
8.
Jeez.
I was downstairs. I was trying to read, but I couldn't because Zelda was screaming, and I wanted it to stop. And then it did, suddenly, and I knew something was wrong. I ran up to her room, and Zelda was choking like...
Rachel, that's enough.
No, I'm explaining why I can't go to Norma's funeral and why we had that stupid... stupid fight about that pet cemetery.
Shh, come on now, that's all forgotten.
No, not by me. I turned Zelda over and I thumped her back and she started to convulse. I knew she was dying, and I thought they'll say I murdered her because Louis, my first thought when I saw her like that was, oh good, Zelda's dying at last and it's gonna be over. I saw her face dark and her eyes bulge, and I backed away into a wall, and a picture fell down. It was from one of the Oz books that Zelda liked, Oz the Great and Terrible. Only she couldn't say that. She said Oz the Great and Terrible, and it smashed, and I ran out of the room screaming, Zelda's dead! Zelda's dead! Zelda's dead! I was hiding in the garden when the neighbors came. They thought I was crying. But I wasn't crying, Louis. I wasn't. I was laughing. I was laughing.
Good. Good for you.
No, you don't mean that.
I do. If I needed another reason to really dislike your mother and father, I've got it now. You should have never been left alone with her, Rachel. Never.
Where are you going?
Get you a Valium.
No, Louis, you know I don't.
Tonight you do.
When the pill had taken hold, Rachel told me the rest. How for years she believed Zelda would seek revenge from beyond the grave. How she'd had nightmares. How she hadn't attended Zelda's funeral, or any funeral since.
I feel better, you know. Like I've just sicked up something that's been poisoning me for years.
I guess you have.
So you won't be mad at me if I'm ill on the day they bury Norma?
No, I won't be mad. But can I take Ellie?
Louis. Okay. If you think it won't hurt her.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us victory over death.
Judd looks weird in that suit.
Shawnee.
Will the pallbearers come forward?
Excuse me.
Daddy, where are you going?
I'm one of the pallbearers, honey. I'm going to help carry Norma out.
Where will I find you?
Go out on the steps. I'll meet you there.
Just don't forget me.
I won't.
Daddy.
What, babe?
Don't drop her.
Lou, coming to bed?
Yeah, I just finished up here. How was Ellie tonight?
She had a little cry. Mm. She said Norma made the best oatmeal cookies ever, and now she won't be making them anymore.
She's right.
I promised to make some with her tomorrow, and that cheered her up. She's asleep now.
Good.
Lou, would you come up? I know you're working, but...
No. Hang on just a second. Here I go.
Time rolled by. Another spring. I remember the date, March 24th, the last really happy day of my life. The things that were to come, poised above us like a killing weight, were still over 6 weeks in the future. Days that are truly good, all the way through, are very rare. God, in his infinite wisdom, is a lot more generous in doling out pain. It was Saturday. Rachel and Ellie had gone to Bucksport with Judd, who liked the company, and I was home minding Gage. Kid had woken from his nap, scratchy and out of sorts. I tried to amuse him without success, when I heard the wind gusting around the house and suddenly remembered the kite I'd bought on a whim a few weeks before.
Daddy!
Hey, how about that? Got it up first shot.
You're flying it! Flying higher!
Yeah.
Flying higher!
Yeah! Woo! Yeah.
The kite soared into the blue. As it rose higher, 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 I felt myself go up, go into it, until I was staring down on the world, as cartographers must see it in their dreams. The field was a rectangle, white. I could see the strip of the road, and beyond that, the river, cold gray band of steel.
Gage?
What?
You're flying it now. You're at the controls, my man. It's your kite.
Gage, flying!
Yeah, that's right. Pull the string, that's it. Hey, look at his swoop. Yay. Pull the string.
It was a moment with Gage I never forgot. Just as I'd gone up into the kite, now I felt myself go down into my son, until I was in Gage's tiny house, looking out of the windows that were his eyes, at a world that was huge and bright, where Vinton's field was as big as a prairie, and a kite soared miles above me.
I love you, Gage.
I love you, Daddy.
And Gage, who now had less than 2 months to live, tugged at the string that was drumming in his fist and made the kite swoop and dive.